Thank you for listening to the West City Fellowship Sermon Audio Podcast. This Sunday, we concluded our vision series Into the Deep with the sermon, And Their Nets Were Breaking. Sermon notes and more information are available on the West City Fellowship website.
Today, we're concluding the series that we've been in, this Into the Deep series, and this is a little bit different than what we've been doing. So if you're visiting with us for the first time, if you haven't been with us before, this is very unusual. This is a little bit more like a PowerPoint presentation that talks a little bit more about who we are as a church and why we do some of the things that we do and what we're going to try to accomplish for the Lord in 2017. So this is different. Normally, what we're doing is we're opening the Word of God very, very closely. We're going through a text. We're going to start that next week as we get back into our King and Kingdom series in the Gospel of Matthew. But I think that this is hopefully something that will help us and unite us as we move into 2017. So one of the things that we're asking is that if you have missed any of the services in this series, that you make a special effort to try to listen to it on the website or on the podcast or something like that. And if you need this presentation of the slides that we're going to be showing you here, all that's available on the website. But basically, what we're doing here is we're basing this on this story in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 5, where the apostles had been fishing all night long and they caught absolutely nothing. And that was strange. That was miraculous in and of itself, but we said that God was sort of setting them up for something because he was going to display his power, and he told them to put out back into the deep water once again, and they argued a little bit, but they eventually went, and then God did this great miracle, and he gave them this great catch of fish that their nets were so full that they were tearing, and this is a part that I just want us to focus on a little bit today, and that is this idea that their nets were so full that they were actually tearing. In other words, God was doing something great. And it was more than these fishermen could handle by themselves. And you know, within moments, these experienced macho fishermen became these clumsy guys who were kind of in a panic with this. The boats were sinking and the nets were breaking and they were calling each other, help, help. And you can imagine the scene. It's very interesting when you compare that. Last week we talked about another incident in John chapter 21 where Jesus did a similar miracle. When you compare the two, it's very interesting to note that in John chapter 21, it was a little bit more orderly. John is very clear to tell us that in that time when Jesus put the catch of fish into their nets, he's very clear, he's specific. He says, and their nets did not break. Their nets did not break. And they quickly recognized this time Jesus in the miracle. When they saw it, they looked on shore and they said, no, that's Jesus. He's the one. That's why this is happening. They'd learned some things. I want to suggest that one of the things that Jesus is teaching them is that when they recognize Jesus' power and rely on it, there is no net that the gospel harvest will tear. In other words, we might say it this way: the kingdom of God is big enough to hold anybody who will enter in, no matter who they are. No matter how many they are, no matter how broken they are, no matter how complicated their lives are. But the lesson for us is that we have to remember that in order to do this, we're going to need two things. We need teamwork to rely on one another. It's not an individual effort. This requires everyone in the kingdom, and we have to rely on the power of God. We have to rely on the power of God. So I'll draw your attention back to this handout for the last week that we're going to do this. You'll see this handout, this map, and we're going to go to slide, I think that's it, that's the one. Is that slide 20 or is that slide, I think, 14? What? No, we need to go down some. We need to keep going to slide. That's slide 14. So we want to find slide, you can see it down in the little corner, so we need to go to slide 20 is where we'll start. But if you want to pull out this map that you've got in your bulletins, one of the things that we've been talking about is we've saying that that we want to try to use this to find our place, to get the big picture, to find our place as to where we are and what we're going to be doing as individuals within this sort of this teamwork. So last week we talked about how if we go out into the community and we cast our nets, then what do we do when God puts some fish in our nets and they come back in, as you can see that red line. So on slide 20, I just want to move through this. We've got a lot to cover. I'm going to blow through this today, and so I would just ask for your indulgence and your patience, but I think that this is going to be important for us all as we move forward. So let me just move through this very, very quickly. And what you can see here is that if we cast our nets out, if we're doing outreach that we talked about last week, then hopefully some people are going to come here and they're going to visit us. And when they come in and visit us, we want them to see Jesus. We want them to see Jesus. We want them to see Jesus in his, in God's word, in the word of God, and so we want to proclaim that. Just like Heidi read it, we proclaim it in song, and we proclaim it through the preached word. And Jesus makes himself known. We want Jesus to make himself known through the Holy Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit to be so moving so powerfully among us that people see Jesus, because the Holy Spirit points people to Jesus. And we want them to see Jesus in us, because when we give our lives to Christ, he dwells within us. And somehow, spiritually, at some spiritual level, people can see that. We want people to see Jesus. Now, therefore, this is why this matters. The welcome ministry, this first stop, the welcome ministry, is vital because it sets the stage for people to see Jesus. So if you think, who are the first people that people see when they come into the church? It's oftentimes those who are greeting. Now, sometimes people will think of this as a very, very easy, simple, you know, anyone can do this kind of job, but I want you to understand how important it is. Because oftentimes people have looked online and they've checked us out and they've been nervous. And, you know, going to a new place, checking out a new church, it's kind of a nerve-wracking process. And so if they can come right through the door and people put them at ease right away, there's enormous value in that. And it's the same way with those in children's ministry, because when people drop their children off, if somebody there is just exuding love and smiling and saying, we are so happy to have your child here and we will take care of him or her and we will show them the love of Jesus, that puts parents at ease. It's vital in introducing people to Jesus. Now, there's also these, what I'll call the invisible blessing roles. This is still part of, though, I want you to think of this. The invisible blessing roles are a part of the welcome ministry. And this would be people who are setting up the cafe, people who are involved in set up and the tear down of all of our equipment and pulling things off of the trailer and putting them back on. The technical folks in the back. See, this, what these folks do, few people see the work they do, but it's absolutely vital because it creates an environment that's free of distractions so that people can see Jesus. And it also frees those people who are engaged in leading people in worship. And I'm talking here now about they could be playing music, could be preaching the word, they could be reading the scriptures, whatever it is, it frees those who are trying to lead in worship to really be focused on Jesus. And to it reduces the stress level. And believe me, the more things are just taken care of, the more grateful that I am to just be able to focus on the word of God and leading us in worship. So this is a vital, this is the first point where people, when we cast the nets out, when they come in, this is the first place they come. And then what they do is they come, of course, they come into the Sunday gathering, and we talked about that during the second week. But now if they come in and they see Jesus, what do we do then? Well, we want to send them somewhere. Because, of course, Sunday is vital, isn't it? Sunday is vital, but church is not limited to Sunday. I mean, people need to develop deep relationships with other people in the church. And one of the key ways to do this is in our life groups. Now, let me qualify. Not everybody can do life groups. Some people are going to engage in confession partnerships. Some will be in prayer ministries. Some will be really focused on outreach or just focused on raising their family and ministering to their family. But hear me, doing a life group, even for like one session, one short session every once in a while, can be a great jump start to getting to developing some deep relationships with some people that you can then take with you during the week. And leading a life group, if you think about this is critical. This is one of the great ways that people grow. And if you think about it, if we don't have people to lead these life groups, where will we send the people who God puts in our net? Now, there's a lot to why we do life groups, the way that we do them. And back on our information table is a little, it's just like 3 pages, pretty quick, pretty brief. But it tells you a lot more about why we do life groups the way we do and what we're trying to do. I would really encourage you to pick one of those up and read through it. But let me just say one or two very brief things about it. One of the key ways that we do life groups is we do what we call sermon-based life groups. And so generally speaking, each week we will have a set of life group notes and questions and everything that will have to do with whatever scriptures that we were going through that week. Now, we also have some specialized groups from time to time, but the main thing we do are these sermon-based life groups. We do this for several reasons. One is this. You know, I mean, this is stating the obvious, but we have the Word of God. I mean, the Creator of the universe has left us His Word here. And in this country, we can have as many of these Bibles as we want without a problem. And yet, study after study after study show that most people, even people who are regular attenders in the church, don't really read the Bible. They don't really know how to, or they just don't, or they'd rather read something else. Even a lot of experienced Christians. So we're just, in a sense, trying to get back to basics and teach people how to open the Bible together and go through it and apply it to their lives and let the Lord speak to them and cleanse them and minister to them. The other thing is that if we've talked about being a diverse church, that God would bless us by bringing in lots of different people. And so we need some points of unity. If we're going to be that diverse, we need some points of unity. So if everyone, or at least a lot of people, are sort of talking about and thinking about some of the same themes in Scripture, that will help us to be unified. And we do the same with our youth, because after about sixth grade, we bring the youth in here into the main service. And so our youth ministry is going to start also trying to adapt these notes to youth. But we'll all be talking about the same thing. So when they go home, they can talk about the same section of Scripture with their parents. So you can see how that would work. The other thing is, if we're going to multiply leaders, group leaders, it's a lot easier to just have something that's canned, that's already prepared for people. And so this is one of the reasons that we try to do that, to cut down on some of the preparation. So this is why we do life groups. Now, just practically speaking, we need leaders. So if you feel the Lord leading you to be a life group leader, please let me know, because we need a place to send people. We're going to need that. If God is going to send us people, we have to be able to be good stewards of those people. We need a place to send them. So if you're interested in that, please let me know. One of the things that we're going to start trying to do is just do 4-week sessions. We used to do 10-week sessions, but we're going to cut that down to 4 weeks. Why is that? Because we're all so busy. And if we're talking about just trying to do, you know, a life group session here or there, just as a sort of a jump start, if we do it something like 4 weeks, hopefully it will be more digestible for people. And Megan Donnelly, where's Megan? There's Megan. Is starting one. She's going to do one. It's going to be a women's group. It's starting Wednesday night at 6:30. The details are in your bulletin. It's just going to be for 4 weeks. So real easy for someone to sort of get a jump start and establish some relationships. And actually, in this group, she's going to be talking very specifically about that and about sort of building community. So think about that. And if you're interested in life groups at all, you can check that box on the Connect card. And we'll just figure out who's interested, and we'll assemble some groups, assemble some leaders, and we'll do a four-week session, which will be pretty easy. So that's where life groups start. Now, another place that people might go would be into confession partnerships. And at this point, we're on slide 22. Now, confession partnerships, these are sort of organic relationships. It's usually about two, sometimes three people that would get together, where people really learn how to apply the gospel to their lives. Now, this is deep spiritual formation stuff. So this is going to grow kind of organically, oftentimes out of some relationships that people build either in life groups or in some other places where they're serving together or whatever. But we do some training about this to help people do this. But this is getting deep, deep, deep into sort of the recesses of our souls to really think about spiritual formation and becoming more and more like Christ. If you're interested in that, again, you can check that off on the card, and I'll be happy to tell you more about that. The other place we want people to go is to baptism. This is slide 23. You know, if people come in the door and they have given their lives to Christ, we want people to get baptized. So we want to send them there. Baptism, of course, is something that Jesus commands us to do, commands us to be baptized. It's a great picture of the cleansing and the removal from sin that we have. It's a great picture of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It's a great picture of our rebirth, how the old man or woman has died and how the new man or woman has been raised with Christ. And it's something that's precious for the church. So if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Christ and you've never been baptized, let's talk about that. When you present yourself to baptism, for baptism, you bless the church. And if you've ever witnessed a baptism, which I'm sure probably most of you have, probably many, you know how precious it is, and it's precious in the life of a church. And then we have membership, which is 24. Membership is something we take seriously here at the church because, you know, we've talked about how a local church is people who have a common salvation in Jesus Christ and also a common mission to establish the kingdom of God. So one of the things that we want to do is to take that very, very seriously. Now, the term fellowship in the Greek, which is where we get West City Fellowship, is a very strong word. It's a beautiful word, and it means, really, it's kind of like a covenant commitment that people have to one another in Christ because they share this common salvation and they share this common mission. So we want to take that very, very seriously. So membership, covenant membership is something that we do. You know, in the early church, they didn't really have to think about this too much because there wasn't a church on every corner. If you became a follower of Jesus Christ, in a sense, baptism was your membership covenant. When you were baptized in front of everybody, you basically said, I'm on that team. And it means then that everybody, you're probably in that one church that's in that part of town and there's no other options and that's where you are and everybody knows that we're all responsible for one another. That's not true today. There's a church on every corner. And also, commitment is not something that is high on our radar today culturally. But the church is not supposed to follow the culture. The church is supposed to set the example for culture. So we don't want, just because our broader culture doesn't like commitment, that doesn't mean we can't. So we want to practice this. And one of the formal church membership, even though that formal church membership's not in the Bible, what it represents certainly is. And so we do this, and we do it. Joe Olesko, wherever Joe is in the back there, he, if you're interested in membership, just talk to him. And he just does a membership class. It's one evening, and then we have a covenant membership document that people sign. And the reason that we do that is for all those reasons. We want to demonstrate commitment. One of the things that we say, though, to people is we use the term court and commit. Because we don't want to rush anybody into membership. We want people to court in the sense of seriously examining whether or not West City Fellowship is the place that you think you want to commit and join. But if you decide that you do, then we say then commit and take that step. So nobody's rushing you, but just keep those things in mind. And if you're interested in learning more about it, please talk with Joe. So all of that is to say that all of these things here, where we want to send people, all of that is supported by leadership development, the diaconate, and financial giving. So let me just go through that very, very briefly. You know, leadership development, slide 25. The world needs men and women who are spiritual leaders. Now, I'm not talking about pastors and ministers and all of that. Needs some of those too. But I'm talking about people in the workplace, people in government, and certainly people in the church, just neighbors. The world needs spiritual leaders, people who can make disciples. And the church, I would say, has the key responsibility for producing spiritual leaders to sort of let loose on the world. And one of the key ways that people can develop their spiritual leadership, by the way, is in leading a life group. It's one of the best ways that people can develop spiritual leadership. But also, a church that produces leaders is a sign of a maturing church. And we've been blessed because recently we've had some people, we've been producing leaders, I think. We've just recently made Joe Olesko an elder of the church, our first internal elder. We're going to be just announcing today, James Donnelly has felt the call to pastoral ministry. He's completed his seminary. We will be ordaining him in the late spring as a church. So, yeah, you can applaud for that. So this is an exciting thing in our church. We've got other people who are Maria Huck, just recently, last year, she said, I want to step up and work and lead in our children's ministry. She's just done a wonderful job. Her husband, Keith, same way. God is just doing something in me. I just feel like he's calling me out to do something more. Wayne, sitting back here on the doing the slides today, the same way. I feel like God is doing something and leading me to work with youth. And I'm leaving lots of people out. But this kind of thing is happening, even with a small church like us. And so this is exciting. That's what should be happening with us. Okay. Now this diaconate, that's the fancy word for, that's deacons and deaconesses and all that, and that's a fancy word for care ministries. Okay, so this is another great place to develop spiritual leadership, but we need people to just take care of other people's practical needs. So if you're interested in this, then please let me know, but we need people to help others deal with just make sure they have food. Make sure they have their finances in order. Just to make sure if they need home repairs. I mean, there's a lot of these kinds of things. If that's the kind of thing that you're good at and that you want to get involved with, please let me know. The other thing we need, though, in care ministry is people who pray for others. Because as we've said, prayer is a huge, huge thing of what we do. And if you think about this, if we cast our nets out into, among others, some of the most desperate people in our community, understand this. There's not enough resources, there's not enough money, there's not enough counseling, there's not enough time or medical attention to resolve all the needs that we have in our community. We need the power of God. Yes, we will absolutely be trying to take whatever practical steps we can, but we don't have enough money. The government doesn't have enough money. We need the power of God. So we need people who will pray and intercede for in people's circumstances in their lives and for people to be healed in all the ways that we talked about last week. And so if that's something that's interesting to you, please let me know, because it's a need that we have now and we will need increasingly in the future. And just a quick plug for the prayer retreat that we're going to be having. If you're interested in getting involved with that, just let me know and we'll make sure that you're involved in when we plan the date. I've heard from a number of people, but that should be a precious time. 2 days, one night. We're going to do that in the spring. So let me know if you're interested in that. Okay. And then we have slide 27, financial giving. So, you know, everything on this map is facilitated in some way by financial giving. So I'm not trying to by any means stand up here and be some cheesy televangelist or something saying, send in your money or anything like that. I'm just saying, you know, money helps, right? Money helps facilitate everything that's on here, whether it's interfacing with the government in some way, whether it's producing the video for the city that we're doing, whether it's you know, organizing the mentoring or the seminars or the events or advertising, whatever it is, it makes a difference. So anything that you give or have given, I just want to say thank you, because you really are making a difference here. Now, just so that you know, we have accountability structures, we have our own reviews and systems and all of that and processes in place. If you'd like any more, I'm going to breeze through this very, very fast. If you'd like any more information, please feel free to see Joe, and he'd be more than happy to talk to you about the details. But we have an external bookkeeper, for example, that keeps us, ready that keeps us audit-worthy, if you will. Make sure that our Council of Overseers has full transparency into every single transaction we make, and they approve our budget and all of that sort of thing. So talk to Joe if you'd like more. I'll just show you very, very quickly. We've just been through the process of finalizing our budget for 2017. So let's go to slide 28. This just shows really, very, very quickly sort of a pie chart. And each of these categories are people, the category of people. This is obviously the sort of the largest nut that we have, which is true of most churches. And this goes for things like staff salaries, stipends we pay for people, any outsourcing we do. It goes for our bookkeeper, childcare workers, taxes, all those kinds of people-related things goes in that category. Then we also have our gathering expenses, and that's anything it takes to put on our worship services. And so the bulk of that is our space rental. Since we're in a bigger place now, that has gone up. Even though they cut this, I told you last week, they cut our rent in half, hallelujah. It's still more than we were paying in the other place because we're getting more here. But that's the gathering. Discipleship, this would be things like materials for children's education, adult education, and that kind of thing. G&A, general and administrative stuff, it's just all the infrastructure things we need, software, web, office supplies, liability insurance, all those kinds of things that we have. We also have outreach. This would be ways that we're reaching out and casting our nets into the community. So it would be advertising and events, evangelism materials, seminar costs, all those kinds of things. And then we have care, what I'll call care, and we've been trying to set aside a certain amount of money that we take from what we, a certain percentage that we take in, into a separate care account. And what we do largely with that is take care of people inside the church who need something, because that's what the Bible calls us to do. So we try to take that seriously. And you know, since we've been meeting, even our little church, we've given away over $12,000 to families who needed it. And so we really want to take this seriously and try to do that. And then finally we have what I'll call greater kingdom. And I'm going to talk about that here in just the last couple of minutes and well, as we close. But let me just say this, in terms of our budget, we've trimmed this year some over last year. We've tried to trim it as much as we can, because we've had some people move away who were some pretty key givers for us. And so we'll probably be digging a little bit into our savings. God has blessed us with some savings, though, and we're just trusting him for that. But we've tried to trim down as much as we can, but it means that we still have about $16,000 a month that we need to ask the Lord for. So everyone makes a difference. Everyone makes a difference. Now, I want you to understand, there are some people in here today that need to receive for a while, and that's just where they are, and we want to try to help with that. If this is an area of your life that you'd like to press into more and grow your faith in giving, then there's this great book on the information table called The Treasure Principle. I mention it all the time, and I would say get it, read it. It's a wonderful, tiny little book that will really help you to grow in this area. Let me, as we close down, let me just talk here about some of our greater kingdom ministries. Could we go to slide 29, please? So these are all these kingdom building, these are the current kingdom building ministries. Over the last couple of years, there have been a couple of others that we've been involved with that we're not involved with anymore, but these are our kingdom building ministries. We give to these. And I'll just tell you really quickly what each one of those are. But let me just say this. I was listening to a really interesting radio show the other day, and it had a guy on there who was entrusted with the Charles Spurgeon Archives, one of the Charles Spurgeon Archives. Charles Spurgeon, if you don't know who he was a great, great English preacher back in the late 19th century. And one of the things that this guy was saying that their team discovered was that Spurgeon, you know, he was a prolific writer. So he wrote all this stuff. He published all sorts of books and sermons and articles and all this kind of stuff. And apparently, they're finding that Spurgeon earned, they're up to now, at least $26 million in his lifetime. $26 million. Which we're shocked by, because Spurgeon died with next to nothing. And the reason is because he gave most of his money away. He gave most of it away. And he founded, do you know, Spurgeon founded 66 what I'll call kingdom ministries. Ministries to orphans, ministries to prostitutes, ministries to policemen. I mean, you name it. 66. And that's really the spirit. Do you know that us as a church, even as small as we are, over the last few years, we've given $34,000 to kingdom ministries, just from setting aside a certain percentage of everything we take in. And so we want to keep doing that. And if we go to slide 30, I'll just show you some of these things very, very quickly. One Heart DC, I've told you, this is a movement. This is something happening here in the DC area. I serve on that team. Pastors from all different churches are coming together. They're praying together. They're working together. I mean, it's like nothing we've really ever seen before. But it requires a little bit of sort of organizing just to keep kind of, or just to kind of trace this movement and help facilitate it. So we give to that. We support that. Also, we have slide 31, a church out in San Francisco, 7SF Church. This is Joel and Holly Slater. I used to work with them. At Expectation Church, and they're planting a church in San Francisco, in the heart of San Francisco, a very, very difficult area for the gospel, just like this area, and they're out there, and they are having their first preview service here in just a few weeks, and they've got already some people who've come to the Lord through that, and we're supporting that. You know, Expectation Church and another church that they planted called Exponential Church, I don't know what it is with the EX stuff, but at any rate, they support us. They send money our way, and they support us. We pass it on, and we pass it on to the church that God has called Joel and Holly into. Slide 32, Landmark Church. This is a local church in Alexandria on the West End, and they're doing some. They're small, like us. Pastor Elwood Jones is the pastor there, And they have a great ministry, but they just have not been as financially blessed as we have been. And so last year they were in a kind of a bind. We were able to help out with that. So I want you to know, listen, this is a church that's right here in town on this end. We don't compete with each other. This is kingdom. Yeah, we teach people that being faithful to your church is important, but we don't compete. As my good friend Steve King of Cherrydale Baptist Church says, he says, we don't compete, we complete. And I love that. And that's the idea. So we, right here, three-quarters of a mile away, we're able to help another local church in town. Slide 33, Regeneration Ministries. This is the best ministry that I'm aware of for the sexually broken. And I'll tell you, I've been counseling people now for a very long time, and I can tell you that one of the biggest places that of pain in people's lives that is very rarely talked about is in the area of sexual brokenness. Of all sorts, you would name it, all sorts. And they need help. They need help. And Bob Reagan, who's the director of the Virginia office, is a friend of mine, and he's just a great counselor, and he's rewritten a recent curriculum. But we support them because people need that ministry. Arlington Bridge Builders, this is a local ministry that basically supports tiny little ethnic churches that are very, very poor. Very, very poor. And so a friend of mine, Pastor Emilio Enns, is one of the churches that they support. I'll just give you an example. Emilio has most everybody in his church are guys who are usually every day out on a street corner trying to get some jobs, and they live under a bridge. They're mostly, and I'm not kidding about that. That's what most of the people in his church are, day laborers who have no home. And Emilio goes out every Sunday and he picks them up and brings them to church, and they have church, and then he drops them back off. This is his heart. He recently nursed back to health. This guy and his friend, they would go and they would live in the woods and they would drink this really cheap, unhealthy alcohol until they just passed out. One morning this guy woke up, he had alcohol poisoning so bad he could barely walk, and his friend was dead. Wow. Emilio took this guy into his home and that's the heart that he has. Listen, Emilio took this guy into his home and nursed him back to health. I mean, like, he brought him soup in a bed. And the guy gave his life to the Lord. And he's doing great now. He's doing great. Hey, that's what this is about. We contribute to that. We contribute to that. Two more. We're going long, but two more. Just very, very quickly. I just want you to know what we're doing. I mean, this is stuff we don't always see, but your money, this goes to this stuff, okay? I want you to know this, and I want you to be excited about it. We have slide 34. Well, also Bethany House. This is a Christian ministry for abused women, and we're getting ready to take a meal to them. Slide 34. We have a church feeding mission in Kenya that we support. Pastor Andrew was here last fall, I guess it was, from that. It's a small little poor church in a small village in a small city in Kenya, and they've got all these homeless young men living out back in these shacks. Pastor Andrew takes them, he feeds them, he prays with them, he teaches them the scriptures, and we have a part in supporting that ministry over in Kenya. And finally, slide 35, this church in Cuba that we support, Torch de Salvacion. Pastor Jose and Marilee were here just 2 weeks ago. We've sent people down to them. Joe and Heidi and Mary have gone down. They're going down again in a couple of weeks. But, you know, Cuba is hungry for the gospel. I mean, they're starving for the gospel. People are coming to the Lord in droves down there. And we have a hand in it. We get to play a part in it. Look, we're going to move into communion now. But here's what I hope you get out of this. That even though we're small, God is using us in a lot of ways to minister to people. We've been blessed by some very generous people. And they're investing in the kingdom with their pocketbooks and with their time and with their prayers. And it makes a difference. So we've gone through all of these slides, and we're going to get back into the Word next week. But hear me, I just want to encourage you to take that map and just pray about it. Just look at it. Pray. Ask God, what would you have me do? Where am I now? What's the next step you would have me do, Lord? Jesus said, put out again into the deep and cast out your nets. And so let's do that. That's what we've been talking about the whole time. Let's put out again together as a church, cast out our nets. See what God does. Let's look for His power and pray for His power that we would behold His glory. As we move into our time of communion, let me just ask us all to just bow our heads.